words of that song, come to the altar and you lay things down. And when you do that, when we do that, and we are sincere, we come. I mean, it's not a show. We're really coming to lay things down and give it to the Lord. You're going to be tested very soon. I mean, very soon, when you make that commitment and you really step out in faith and you do it, you will be tested on whatever it is you're laying down. Will you pick it back up? Will you worry yourself again? Will you let it go? Will you turn it over to the Lord? Will you? Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in your heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You need rest on Monday. You need it on Tuesday. You need it on Wednesday. So that means you got to make an altar every single day, laying it down, giving it to the Lord so that you can be released from it. And don't pick it back up. When the Lord moves, you're gonna be tested. You know, my wife preached a good message Sunday night. People responded. I was surprised. I thought Sunday morning it would be full. Like she said, praise the Lord. People responded Sunday night, and you felt something, and the Lord touched you. I wouldn't hesitate to say that half of you, most of you, hadn't already been tested, or tempted, or tried, and you've passed the test. Amen. You're back in church on Wednesday night. You didn't let the devil talk you out of coming to church, did you? Sometimes he'll try, won't he? He'll try. But that's where your faith gets put to the test to find out, do you have what you say you have? It's got to be put into action. So praise the Lord. I'm glad to see people tonight. Glad that you came to church. And so we're here to worship the Lord and let him have his way in our heart and in our lives. So we're going to ask you to give tonight if you have something to give. Take up an offering. We got $13,000 even now on that building fund. I put $100 in today. I didn't know if we had it or not, but I gave it myself. Lord blessed me yesterday with something, so I just felt like I should give that to that. So I know we got $13,000 even for sure. So I want to encourage people to give as you're able to, and help us keep on pushing towards this foundation of this building and getting this property cleared off. I'll be glad when we see some machines moving. Amen. I'll be glad when we see some action going on. And it's going to take a little time, take a little money, but the Lord is going to make it happen with your help and people watching. So let's pray over the offering. If you have needs tonight as you bring your offering, and it ain't Sunday morning, but you're still welcome to come to this altar. If you want to take a minute to pray, you want to talk to the Lord. Okay, yeah, Michael. Brother Michael had a pretty major surgery yesterday, and he's had some complications, but the Lord's been touching him. He got a little bit unstable, out of control a few times, but the doctors were able to get him back under control. But we know that that's God's hand. We know that's the Lord. I mean, he uses the doctors, but he can step in and he can do things. So we want to remember Michael in prayer. That's why they haven't been here in a while. He's been had a pretty major surgery, so you need to pray that the Lord will fix him, make him a bionic man. He'll be a brand new bionic man, amen, springing back in the church for long, hopefully. So pray for them. We'll pray for them as we take up the offering. Anybody else, if you have a need, take it to the Lord tonight. And the Bible says, let your request, your prayer, your request be made known unto God. Amen. So take them to the Lord. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we ask you tonight that you would touch Michael right where he is, as we've already been praying, Lord. And I know that they've been petitioning others to pray for them, Lord. And I believe that they have. But God, I ask you to touch him, to heal him. Let him recover fully, Lord. And Lord, use the doctors, whatever medicine has to be used to help in that process, Lord. Let your will be done, God, in restoring him. Touch Julie, Lord. Give her strength. Give her physical strength, spiritual strength, God, and move in such a way that it would confound the doctors, Lord. One more time, God, show them that you are able to do the impossible, God. Their hands do a lot of the work, but your spirit does the healing. Lord, we thank you tonight. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that the power of God is real. Your spirit is what we must have in every situation. Touch him tonight, God. Heal him. Every person in this place tonight who needs a touch in their body, touch them. Bless the offering tonight. Move upon more and more people to give, to help us with our building, Father. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.
Well, I've been held by the Savior, and I felt fire from above. And I've been down to that altar, but I ain't the same. A prodigal return, and all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday is gone, and all my sins are forgiven, 'cause I've been washed by the blood. See, I'm no stranger to the prison, and I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same, and the straight and narrow way, and I've been filled with his spirit. Well, I'm bought by his blood, and I'll never be the same, and all my hope is in Jesus. We thank God is gone, and all my sins are forgiven, 'cause I've been washed by the blood, and you've been so so faithful. suffering. Lord, you showed me mercy in your stripes. They healed my disease. And when I was helpless, you were my fortress, my rock. Brand new mercy, Lord, you've been so faithful to me. And when I needed healing, you came and touched me. And when I was in bondage, you broke the chains. Now I'm free from the sin of slave of the devil. Now I'm living for Jesus Christ. You've been so faithful, so faithful. Lord, you've been so faithful to me. With comes brand new mercy, Lord, you've been so faithful to me, and he's been so faithful, so faithful, you've been so faithful to me. With each new morning comes brand new mercy. You've been so faithful to me. Lord, with each new morning, you give us brand new mercy.
Song. I think she made a few verses up, but boy, they're good. Amen. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 4 tonight. My glasses are fogged up. Y'all need to quit breathing so hard. Romans chapter 4. We're getting through our sinus stuff finally a little bit. Progressing through this stuff. Feel a little bit better. When you start seeing those trees bud and that green pop out, you know what season it is, don't you? I cut the grass last week and had two masks on. I don't know if it helped me or not. Romans chapter 4, verse 19, ringing up here just a little bit. Romans 4, 19, the scripture says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon your word tonight, for your anointing, for your strength, your power physically, spiritually, in every way possible. God, I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here tonight. I thank you for those that are watching through the internet, those who will watch, those by Facebook, YouTube. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to move in our church, Lord, continue to touch us, to anoint us, to bless us, to strengthen us, that your will would be done in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I pray tonight that people walk out of here, Lord, knowing something that they didn't know before they came through the doors. People watching would learn something they didn't know about your word before this is over with. God, make it real, make it alive, and reveal your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been ministering, teaching on the subject of justification by faith. And Abraham in Romans chapter 4 is held up as the example of the faith that we're talking about. Faith, of course, in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Now, we know that the Bible says Abraham didn't know everything about all that, but it said he did have faith and he did believe in a Redeemer to come. Jesus said it, I quoted it last week, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Well, how did Abraham see Jesus? Abraham never seen Jesus. Abraham was, you know, alive and dead hundreds of years before Jesus came, a few thousand maybe. But what he was saying was that Abraham had faith. He rejoiced, Jesus said, he rejoiced to see my day, means he believed in a Redeemer. Amen. Abraham, we know, was an altar builder. He messed up a lot of times, but boy, when he did, he built altars and took the failures to God and went to the Lord in faith and let God fix him, let God change him, let God correct situations and put him back on the right path. He never gave up. And he kept on going. He is held up as our example of a man of faith to encourage us to have, look, the same faith that he had, but not just faith in faith, not just faith in the word, not just faith in reading the Bible, but faith in what Abraham believed in, namely Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer. So he's held up in chapter 4 as the example of the father of faith. They were talking on the radio this morning about justification and sanctification. Justification is God fighting for you. He saves you. He fights for you. The Holy Spirit fights for your soul. You get saved. And then sanctification is the Holy Spirit fighting in you, working in you. There's a slight difference. They go together, but there's a difference. The justification part is the part where we are cleansed of our sins. We're justified in the eyes of God. We're made righteous with God Almighty because we accept Jesus Christ into our heart. And at the very moment we do, we are instantly cleansed of all sin. Every bit of it is gone. The power of sin is broken,
And then the power of sin is kept at bay in sanctification. But they go hand in hand. The justification is, you could say, the salvation. The cleansing part, the sanctification, is the ongoing, everyday living part. There's what we have to have. You have to know how to live this life at work. You have to know how to live this Christian life in the world. You have to know, like my wife said, coming to church ain't going to get it. And yes, you need to come to church. But that's not enough. You got to know something. Okay? You got to know something. Not just in the head. It's got to get down into your spirit. What Jesus did at the cross has got to drop from here down into here where it comes alive. It's real. It's powerful. It enables us to walk this walk, talk this talk, live this life, trust in Him. Even when we fail, we still continue to believe and we trust Him and we put the failure behind us and we go on. If you don't, the failure is going to drag you down over and over and over. If Christians don't learn to quit blaming everybody else for what's going wrong in their life and say, this is an opportunity for God to do something in me, so I don't need to be talking about anybody else. Lord, what do you want to do in me? That's the attitude we've got to always have. Otherwise, every time something happens around you, to you, from someone else, it's going to be, that, you know what they did. You know what he did. Look, stop it. I don't want to hear it. What's God trying to do in you? There's the question that needs to be answered. Maybe you're just a miserable Christian because you're living under law and your faith ain't where it's supposed to be. And because it isn't, you just want to try to make other people miserable with you. That can happen. God don't want his children living like that. He don't want his children blaming the world, blaming everybody every time something goes wrong. Because there's times he has orchestrated some things to go wrong. To test you and me, to show us where our faith is, but more importantly, to help us to be able to live this out, to walk in the power of the Spirit. Look, you're going to walk in the flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the flesh simply means that you're putting your faith in something else other than this Redeemer, Jesus, and failure is the end result over and over and over and over and over. So Abraham is held up as the father of faith. And last week I read some of these verses I'll go back to where it said that the scripture says of Abraham that God, he had made him a father of many nations before him whom he believed. That's God. Even him, God who quickens the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. That's faith. That's Abraham believing what God has told him about a Redeemer. He's calling those things, it's not really even Abraham, it's God that one that said it, but it's not wrong for Abraham to confess it and believe it, that he can say what God has said. God has promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a son of your own. It's nothing wrong with me, you confessing. God has said, I'm going to give you thousands of souls, Thomas Clymer. You're going to bring thousands of souls into my kingdom. It's nothing wrong with me confessing that God made us a promise that thousands of souls are going to come to Jesus Christ, and I believe it. Faith. I don't understand it all. I don't see how it's all going to happen, but I see it in the spirit realm. It's going to happen. And I'm calling that which is not yet as though it is. because it's coming. That's biblical. But you can't just use that scripture to try to confess and call things into existence that you want and all this stuff like most. That ain't what that means. It's got to line up with God's will. You can be confessing stuff that, well, you can confess some stuff till you're blue in the face, and most likely it's never going to come if your motive's wrong. It's not going to come if it don't line up with the word. It ain't going to happen. And I've seen people caught up in that stuff, and what it does, it don't build faith, it destroys faith. It hurts people's faith. You go around telling people God's going to do this and God's going to do that, and God hadn't told you he's going to do it, and you're making it public, and you're telling, so you can hurt people. You can hurt people's faith. That's why you need to make sure when you say, you know, the Lord spoke to me, God's told me something. Hey, there's nothing wrong with letting people know that at times, but make sure the Lord said it. If he has, don't be afraid to say it. Because when God says it, that settles it. And it don't matter what anybody else thinks. He said to Abraham, he who against hope, he believed in hope, who against hope believed in hope. What do you mean against hope? In the natural, the promise that God made to Abraham, there's no possible way in the natural that it could come to pass. A 90-something-year-old man approaching 100 with a 90, mid-90s wife that God says, you're going to have a child by, that is going against hope. But who against hope, he believed in hope because God said it, but he struggled with it too. Between the time God made him that promise and the, what, 20 or however many long, 25 years that it came to pass, guess what? Abraham went through a lot of stuff. Abraham was tested. Abraham was tried. Abraham and Sarah, they goofed up. They lied. They went to Egypt. They did things they shouldn't have done. But even against hope, even in the midst of failure, they picked back up. They trusted God. They went on back to church. Come on, somebody. And said, I'm going on with Jesus, and I'm going to believe God's word. Left Egypt and went back to church, went back to Canaan, went back to the fruitful land. Some of y'all need to get out of Egypt and get back to the fruitful land, the land where God's made you a promise, the church God put you in. Because if you're anywhere else than where God put you, you're in the wrong place. You sitting at home behind a screen ain't going to get it, buddy. Sitting home on a computer going, look, it ain't going to get it. If God's put you somewhere, he put you there to be a part of that because he wants you to be a part of the promise. He wants to use you to be a blessing in the promise. And running from the failures ain't going to cut it. You're going to have to pick up like Abraham did when he made a fool of himself. Forget about what people around you think, because it's only between you and the Lord anyway. It don't matter what people think. It's what God knows. And if God's touched you and restoring you and you're making things right with him, you don't need to be concerned about what anybody else thinks. It's time to go on with Jesus. And don't play the blame game. Well, I ain't going to church today. Do you know what this one did? Do you know what? Look, stop it. Get your eyes on Jesus and get them off of everybody else. Because the only person you're hurting is yourself. You're hurting yourself. Even when they failed, the promise God made them, now they got to pick up and brush themselves off and say, okay, Lord, you are going to have to do this. And the biggest mistake they made, really one of the biggest ones, or the sin they made, was trying to help God bring about to pass the promise that he gave them. Because years were passing. Look, years are passing. They're getting older. And they already know that bearing children is way far too gone for them. And as they get older, nothing's happening. And, you know, they're married man and woman, and they're still active together, apparently, and there's nothing going on because the Bible said that her womb was dead. Her womb was dead, but God wasn't dead. Her womb was dead, but God wasn't dead. And when they went and brought the little Egyptian handmaid, the woman that they brought in, the young lady, Brother Larson preached about it at camp meeting. It was really good, some of the things he said. Hagar, the little Egyptian lady, to be the surrogate, I guess you'd call it that if you want to. And they had a child by her. Abraham went into her because Sarah had suggested it. They agreed on it. And they thought that if they did that, this would be God's promise. Mistake. It wasn't God's, because God said, I'm going to give you your own son. Listen, I don't want somebody else's stuff. I want my own. I don't want what another ministry has. I want my own. Come on. I love Brother Swagger. I love what God's, but I don't want the promise God gave to him. I want the promise God made to me.
Yes,
hello? I want the promise God has made to us. And they try to help God out. The child's born, you know, Ishmael's a work of the flesh, and there's been nothing but trouble from then on. And God had to start dealing with them and telling them, look, this is not of me. And then it got to the point to where Isaac finally was born, the promised child. He came just like God said. Could you imagine that, mid-90s woman walking around with a swell belly and an old man who's still vibrant, nearly 100 years old, with his wife, arm around his wife, saying, look what the Lord has done. Look, could you imagine what people must have been thinking? Well, she got a pillow under her dress? That's the carnal mind. No, she's got a promise under her dress from God. And Isaac was born, the promised child. But then as the children started growing up, trouble came. Ishmael started persecuting Isaac. It's believed that he even made attempts to try to kill him. That's what the flesh will do to the spirit. That's what the flesh will do to the spirit. Your flesh, the flesh in us, if it is not cut out and rooted out, it will try to kill the moving of the spirit in our life. All hope of the flesh has got to go. And it finally come to the point to where God said, Paul quoted in Galatians, cast out the bondwoman and her son. The lesson there is not necessarily casting some person out physically. It's a spiritual lesson. The bondwoman is not the promise. The bondwoman is not of faith. The free woman is the one who is of faith in Jesus Christ. The bondwoman represents law. The free woman, okay, Isaac represents grace. Ishmael represents law, self-effort, self-help. And God said, they got to go. Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. He will not be an heir with the son of the free woman. That's not my will. And today, it's the same with us. Flesh has got to go. And God has ways of getting it out of you. God has ways. Let me tell you, I'll tell you one way something he can use to really help do some purging in us. You want to know what it is? Persecution. Because when you get persecuted to a large degree, to the point to where it's hurting you and you don't know what to do and you have nowhere to go but to the Lord, good for you. God can use it to do some things in us. Not so much in the person, other in us. I see from time to time persecution. It'll either push somebody closer to the Lord or they'll go away from him. But if you let it push you to the Lord, you'll see a change. You'll see fruit. You'll see God do some great things in your life. That's why it's important that we don't run from persecution. We don't run from problems. We run to the Lord. We build us an altar when we're having issues. We take it to the Lord. We say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to do in my family? What do you want to do in my church? What do you want to do in my job? What do you want to do? And we let it push us close to the Lord. And as we do, God uses these things to change us. But you see, that's what it takes sometimes. Sometimes it takes the work of the flesh and failure and doing stupid so God can use it to reveal things to us and change us and do things in us. But against all hope, Abraham believed God, even through the failure. And it said that he being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. There it is, nearly 100 years old. Sarah's just a few years behind him. And the scripture says he did not consider his body dead. He believed that in his natural body, approaching 100 years old, somehow, some way, this was going to happen. Let me tell you something. Happened yesterday. It was yesterday. The day before. I'm working on this little motorcycle for this guy down here. Little bitty dirt bike. I pulled the carburetor off of it, done stuff here and there, just tweaking, trying to do this, trying to do that, get it run a little bit better for him. Doesn't run terrible, but he wanted to see if we can get it running better. So I pulled the carburetor off of it. It's just a little bitty carburetor. It has little bitty parts in it. Lucas knows what I'm talking about. Little bitty jets. And when I pulled the bowl of that carburetor off and I pulled the main jet out, up in where the main jet goes, it's just a little bitty sleeve. Perforated sleeve that the fuel shoots through the nozzles, just little bitty. I mean, in this brass, you can barely see it. It fell out on me when I took the carburetor out and it hit the floor. I thought, oh, I better get hold of that and I better put that, you know, keep it with other stuff so I don't lose that, because that motorcycle won't run without that. I mean, it won't run right for sure. And so the motorcycle's been sitting because I'm waiting on parts to come in. Well, yesterday, a few parts came, and I started to put the carburetor back together, and I was looking around, and I saw that little sleeve was not in my bowl, and I couldn't find it. I thought, uh-oh. About 2 or 3 days before, I'd cleaned my shop out, blew everything out with air, swept my floor, and I thought, oh, this thing is long. Lord, I said, Lord Jesus, I mean, I could order it off the internet, $30 just for that little bitty part. And so I looked, I had my glasses, I had my light, I'm walking through the shop, I mean, I am dissecting, I'm covering every inch of the floor, I'm looking, and I'm thinking, I'm looking in cracks, I couldn't find that thing. And I said, oh Lord, I done got myself in a mess, I'm going to have to do something, I'm going to have to buy that part, I guess. And so I went, I looked again. I went outside where I blew everything out. I looked through cracks. I thought, man, that thing, it must be gone. I thought, well, I went in, I got on the internet, looked it up on the internet. I said, I'll just have to order it, you know, and I'll have to wait. I called the man. I called the owner. I said, man, I said, I hate to tell you, we're going to have to wait a little longer because I've lost this jet somehow, this little valve, and I don't know where in the world it went. I must have blew it out at the shop or whatever when I was cleaning. He said, I don't know. Ain't no problem. He said, just, I'm glad you called me and told me about it. Thank you, you know, for being honest and everything about all that. And don't worry about it. We'll wait on it. Just keep it. And, you know, when you get it, you take care of it. Just let me know. I said, okay. So I got off the phone, and I don't know. I just felt something rise up in me. I felt faith rise up in me. And I said, I'm going to look again. And I said, I'm going to look one more time, Lord. And I said, Lord, I was talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, if this thing is in here, God, show me, help me to find. And no sooner than I said it, Mr. Jones, I stand in the middle of the floor and I looked down and saw something, and right there it was. Just before I found it, I'm telling you, I had faith rise up in me, and I said, God, I can find that thing if it's in here. With your help, I can find it. Amen. And right there it was. Just faith. I mean, an overwhelming spirit of faith just came over me with something so small. And God was involved and interested in it and helping me to find it. Faith. That's only one of a few times that God's helped me to find stuff that I thought for sure I'd never see again. I lost my wife one time before we got married. I didn't think I'd ever see her again, but the Lord brought her back. Now, he took me to her at the Quick Sack. I stopped off at the Quick Sack. I won't tell you for what. And there she was, standing behind the counter. I said, oh, my goodness. Woo-hoo. There she is. I hadn't seen her in months. I said, oh, my gosh. She lit up with a smile. I was smiling. I said, you got another, can I get your number again and get my number? And can we, will you go back out with me? Yeah. And she just came, she hadn't been able to let go since. Just stuck to me. But I've seen the Lord many times. I've lost things. And you think it's gone. You never see it again. Only to have the Lord to show you or take you and to help you to find it. Abraham might have lost his faith through some of the things he went through, but he got it back. He got it back. It welled up in him. You see, God, all he wants is faith. To believe, for us to believe, and we're talking about this justification process here of how we're saved, to have the same faith Abraham had, to believe in Jesus Christ and what Jesus did at the cross for our justification. Listen, in verse 20, this says this. I was reading this morning, and I was having a Holy Ghost fit in my office. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. The word staggered speaks of separation or to separate oneself from something. Abraham did not separate himself from God. He did not allow himself to be separated from the Lord through unbelief, even through the hard times. He had faith. He believed God. His trust was solely in the Lord. And that's where God wants us. Even when everything is breaking loose around us, he wants your faith only in him. Your trust only in him. He staggered not. But you know what? He was hit. He did stupid stuff like we all do at times. He sinned. He messed up. He staggered. He was hit. But he didn't go down and stay down. He didn't allow unbelief to creep in and overtake him and talk him out of the blessing of God. He caught it in time and let God deal with it. And you know, today, if you and I would do the same thing, if you'll catch yourself when you do stupid, if you'll catch yourself when you're being tempted, if you'll catch yourself, if you'll think for a minute and stop and realize what is going on, it's your faith that's being tested. Or maybe you're being tempted. Maybe the devil's trying to pull you away. You don't have to stagger at the promise of God. You don't have to fall into, she preached this tonight, unbelief. Not all who came out of the wilderness made it. With many of them, God was not pleased. Their carcasses fell dead in the wilderness. Many of them lost their soul. They staggered, they fell, and they lost their soul. And it was all because of unbelief. They stopped believing God. That's a bad place to be in. I'm going to tell you something. It don't take much to fail and to do stupid and do wrong, but sometimes it takes some people. Everybody's different. Sometimes it takes some more than others a lot longer to recover, but the truth is it shouldn't have to be that way, because the recovery process is the same for every single person. And if we put it into place and put it into action and we walk in it and we believe it, the Lord will restore us, put us back on track, get us right back going, and it won't take long. You know how many times I have walked through the doors of this church to come in here to get ready to preach to you, and I have been hit by the devil with stuff. I have had this happen. I've had that happen. And the devil tries to talk to me. He wants to try to get me mad, wants me to come to church upset. And I have to shake every bit of that mess off outside that door and come in here and say, Lord, help me. Help me to do what you call me. Don't let my feelings get in the way. Don't let my emotions get in the way. Don't let any of the problems, don't let any of it get in the way of me ministering your word and coming in here with the praise and worship myself and learn to get my hands up and let you do what you want to do in me and just praise you and let things go. Boy, if we the church would practice that more, imagine what kind of services we might have. Instead of people coming in, mad, complaining, talking about what's happened yesterday on the job, what happened at home, washing machine broke, car got hit, lost the wheel on my wagon. We have to learn to work through things and shake it off. Well, you just act like you better than everybody else, and act like you just think you all good. No, I don't. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've been learning how to do this. And I'll tell you this, the more you do this and you live this and practice this, the easier it becomes. The easier it becomes to live this life. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have more problems. You will. But you learn how to get through them easier. That's what God wants. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But look, he was strong in faith. Strong. God said he was strong even though he failed. Peter was strong on the day of Pentecost when not long before he'd messed up. He was strong in faith, giving what? Glory to God. That's what God wants. Give God some glory. Let God work something in your life. Let God work a miracle in your life. Let God bring you through your tribulation. Let God bring you through your trial. Let God do something so people on your job can see that there's somebody greater helping you than nobody's helping them. Let God be glorified. Give God some glory. You give God some glory on your job and you start using the name of Jesus, you'll shut some people up. Bunch of big mouth whiners. They won't be around you long. You live the way you're supposed to live, close to the Lord, and you let the Holy Spirit live in you, work in you, move through you, and you just live it on your job. I'll guarantee you there'll be some people that'll get plumb away from you. And there'll be some the Lord will bring to you. Because they're searching. They're maybe gonna want what you have. That's the way it's always been. He was fully persuaded. He was convinced. He was assured. He was absolutely assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. God has made us a promise. He's made you a promise, you a promise. Everybody, in some way, God has made you a promise in here. You young boys in here, God has made y'all a promise. I don't know what it is. God's made you a promise, Jones family. God's made you a promise. He's made y'all a promise. He made you a promise. You promise. You hid down in the sound booth. He's made us a promise. Yes, amen. Do we believe that he's able to do it? Do we? Because Satan will try to put a damper on it. He'll try to hinder it. He'll try to stop it. You can't let him. You can't let family problems hinder the promise. You can't let people on the job hinder the promise. You can't let the devil hinder the promise. He was fully persuaded at 100 years old. God, if I live to be near that old, please help me to be that strong. Brother Swaggers, he said, breathing on 90. And look how God is still using him, probably even greater than when he was younger. He's because he believes God. I've heard him say at times he didn't think it was his faith that even did some things because he didn't feel like it. He did much of anything. But he's got faith and you can tell it. You can tell who has faith. You can tell who believes God. Hey, you can tell people that don't know the Lord or people that you know or acquaintance with, and when they run into some serious stuff or they need prayer for something and they'll call on you. Why they do that? They see somebody with some faith. Somebody that knows the Lord. Somebody that knows Jesus. They ain't just talking religion. They got it. Abraham had it. I want what Abraham had. Being fully persuaded that God had promised, he was able to perform. He believed that God was able to do it. Do you? Now, let me stop here. Let's go on just for a second from justification to sanctification. The flesh, things that need to be changed in us. Do you believe that God can do it? Okay, do you understand how God does it? Do you know that the things that need to be changed in your life and mine, they don't happen just because you come to church, just because you say you have faith? This whole story represents justification by faith. Abraham as the example who believed in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, to come. Because he, when he would come and die on the cross, now there would be enacted a new covenant, not just to save people from their sins, but to free people from their sin. To sanctify them. Do you believe God's promise for sanctification, the cross, the blood, Calvary, what Jesus did? That's God's process of continuing to change us. And if you believe that, that's the promise of God. And guess what? You will be changed. You will continue to be changed. You won't stay the same. And you shouldn't want to. If you're happy where you are, there's something wrong. We should all desire change. He said, verse 22, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I'm going to stop with that verse, but it was imputed to him, placed into his account as righteousness. God said, because Abraham believed me, because Abraham believed in my promise, the Redeemer to come, I'm going to impute to him righteousness. My child, right standing with God, right relationship with God, because he believed God. He believed in God's process. Today, it's the same with us. God's process is not the cutting of the throat of an animal and taking it to Jerusalem to offer it up for your sins. God's process is you put your faith in his son Jesus, who gave himself on the cross for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us. That's what this is all about. We're justified by faith. And we'll get into the other chapters later on, the sanctification process and what all the details of that is. But basically, this is what it's all about. It's all about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I'm glad tonight I'm a child of the King. I'm glad tonight that my righteousness is not of me, it's of him. The right lifestyle, the right living, wanting to try to live to please God, going to church, reading my Bible, doing the things we do, it's all because of a relationship with him. And I want to do it. I'm not made to do it. I don't have to do it. I want to do it. Nobody would have to make you come to church. You ought to want to. If you've got a right relationship with Jesus, you'll want to. Oh, you may struggle from time to time to get here. Of course. Devil will fight you. But that shouldn't take away your want to. Shouldn't take away your want to. You should want to do the things of God. Your relationship with Jesus is what enhances all of these things. And that's why you'll have a love for reading the Bible, learning the Word, witnessing to people, going to church, giving for missions trips, giving for a building fund, giving for Bibles, giving for whatever. You'll want to, because you understand the process which has justified you and made you right. Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to close out tonight in prayer. Hope you've been blessed by Brother Abraham and his faith. Take that faith out the door with you tonight. Amen. And believe God for your own life. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we have examples from your word, Lord, and your word is what we are to look to. Lord, I pray for everybody in here tonight, those through the internet, Lord, whoever they are, wherever they are, that you touch them, that you bless them, that you speak to them, that you draw them. If people are lost, save them. If they're sick, heal them. If they need deliverance, deliver them. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask you to go with us tonight. As we leave to go our separate ways, Lord, we ask you to protect us, to watch over us, and to bring us back together again safely Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, and we'll see you this weekend.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.